Investigators are looking into what happened on a WestJet flight between Vancouver and Terrace. The Bombardier Dash 8 Q400 was diverted to Prince George when an indicator told them the landing gear was not working. It's not the first time this type of plane has been in a situation like this. The Transportation Safety Board says another Q400 recently had a similar incident. Keith Mackey is an aviation consultant, and we reach him by phone this morning in Florida. Good morning.
Good morning.
How common is faulty landing gear?
Well, the Q400 has had a history of landing gear problems. Most of them manifested themselves back in 2007. Scandinavian Airlines System operated 27 of the aircraft, and within a short span of just a few days, they had several incidents related to landing gear failures. Now, the results of the investigation pointed out the fact that the aircraft weren't being properly maintained. There was some corrosion that was causing the issue. So I think we have to set those aside a little bit, because if the airplanes had been properly maintained, likely the failures wouldn't have occurred.
That's an interesting connection there. This happened back in 2007. How surprised are you that we're hearing evidence of this in 2016?
Well, we have to look at the situation. Now, if you take a 747, that'll take off, fly across the ocean, perhaps for 10 or 15 hours, and then make a landing. So it gets a lot of hours between landings. But you take the Q400, and it flies shorter legs into shorter airports, shorter runways, that is, and makes a lot more takeoffs and landings. So that landing gear per hour of flight gets a lot more cycles. The runways are shorter, the brakes are used more. So it's a much harder environment to operate the 400 as opposed to a larger aircraft. So this is causes extra wear and stuff like this, but the aircraft are maintained to account for that. It shouldn't cause any additional problems. But problems do crop up from time to time, and I don't find this particularly unusual.
Why don't you find it unusual?
Well, it's not unusual to have some sort of a malfunction. Now, going into Terrace, there's no control tower. So let's put ourselves in the pilot's position.
Sure, yeah.
Probably happened. They're making the approach. Everything's fine. Put the landing gear down. Uh-oh, the nose gear didn't come down. Look at that. Well, we can't land. Let's go around. Now they have to make an aborted landing. And here they are in an area where the weather isn't very good, in the middle of the mountains, with the landing gear, at least part of the landing gear, down. What are we going to do now? Well, the first task is to fly the airplane. So one pilot is busy flying that airplane, and the other pilot can then troubleshoot the landing gear system. Now, I'm not sure exactly what they found there at Terrace, but they made the decision that even if they got it down and landed, the aircraft's going to need some sort of repair. And there's probably no one there to do it that's qualified. They probably don't have heavy jacks that they might need to lift the aircraft to work on the landing gear. So they, I think, wisely made the decision to divert to Prince George, where the weather was better, there was a control tower, and if the aircraft required some heavy maintenance, they'd be able to do it there. So I think that's probably a proper thing to do.
Do you think the passengers were at real risk with this incident?
No. No, if it were me and I couldn't get the nose gear down at all, I'd try to shift some of the passengers to the rear of the airplane. And I'll bet you I could almost stop that airplane before the nose would actually touch the ground.
It doesn't sound like something I would like to experience.
Well, you probably would hardly even notice the difference other than that the aisle was going downhill after you landed. But I don't think it was a serious situation. Now, the nose gear extension on the Q400 in an emergency is a little bit unusual. What the pilots have to do is they have to lift a panel on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And in that panel, there's a little switch, and if you move the switch aft, you'll see another set of lights that actually confirm the position of the gear. So if there was a problem with the normal lights up on the primary instrument panel, you'd be able to look down here and see whether or not the gear was down. Now, if the nose gear is up, The nose gear, when it retracts, goes forward. So they have a T-handle, and you pull on the T-handle, and the first thing that happens is it releases the door, the nose gear door, up lock, and then when you pull it further, it finally releases the nose gear itself.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is it takes about 40 kilos of force to be able to do that, and that isn't covered in training sometimes.
Hmm.
And there was one incident in New Zealand where the pilots didn't realize it took so much force, and they landed with the nose gear up, and had they pulled it a little harder, it would have come down just fine. Now, once the nose gear uplocks are released, the gear just falls, and it depends on the air load. Because it was swinging forward when it was retracted, it's now going backwards. So the speed of the airplane and the air load of their will help to extend the gear. Now, one thing the pilots may have done, if that was the problem, is they may have accelerated to a higher speed and tried to force more air load on the gear to get it down. But we know from the report that there was a report that it was only partially down, but eventually they got it down and landed safely. And I presume that they learned it was partially down because of the tower at Prince George being able to observe and tell them.
Not what was being told to them from the in-flight information from the cockpit.
Well, we don't know. It's possible frequently that there's an electrical issue with the switches, and sometimes the gear comes down completely, and we have an indication that it isn't locked. Now, the tower can tell us if it isn't down, but they can't positively tell us if it is down because the small movement necessary to latch the gear in the down position, if you will, wouldn't be observable from the ground. That would be something that would have to take place mechanically inside the aircraft. So the tower can certainly tell you when it isn't down, but they can't tell you positively that it is down.
Hmm. I only have about a minute left here, but for those passengers who take these flights quite often from Terrace down to Vancouver, should they be concerned about flying with events like this one taking place?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the reality is that no one was ever in any danger on this flight. There was some comment that the passengers weren't informed, but if you put yourself in the position of the pilots, they had a lot of work to do to get that airplane over to Prince George, and their first task is flying the airplane in not-so-nice weather around those big mountains and getting it over there safely and making a decision as to what to do. So they don't always immediately explain everything to the passengers. First place, they may not even understand exactly what they're going to have to do. It's an evolving process. So I don't think anyone has to worry about anything. I think it's perfectly safe. It was an unusual incident, but no need to be concerned, in my opinion.
Keith Mackey, great to chat with you. Thanks for your time today.
You're very welcome.
Keith Mackey, an aviation consultant. We reached him in Florida. No one was injured after the WestJet Encore plane made an emergency landing in Prince George on Tuesday.